you also for where you have brought us out of anxiety and where you are taking us into. Lord, we worship you. Thank you for your love, O Lord God, that circulates, your love, O Lord God, that encapsules us, your love, O Lord God, that we feel, your love that has absorbed us, your love that is filling us, your love that is healing and transforming us, your love that is renewing us, your love that is preserving, your love that is protecting, your love, O Lord God, Father, that is being poured out into us and making us more like you. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, High Priest, thank you, because nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, because your love is perfect, and that perfect love is casting out fear. It casts out fear. Fear, O Lord God, and worry, O Lord God, and anxiety, O Lord God, and lusts and their power. It breaks every yoke. It heals and sets us free by your Spirit, which is the Spirit of liberty. Thank you, King of glory. Thank you, Lamb upon the throne. We humble ourselves and bow before you. Holy Spirit, Spirit of love, Spirit of truth, Spirit of liberty. Thank you, resident God on earth. You are here with us. You are here for us. You are here in us. Yes, we behold and we pray that you will help us and liberate us into the freedom that you yourself, O Lord God, have brought, O Lord God, Father, to cause us to be liberated with and to enjoy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you will take us from where we are to where we ought to be. Thank you, because you will cause the Father to be glorified, the Son to be exalted. You will cause, O Lord God, us to be liberated to serve him in freedom and in liberty, fearlessly, faithfully, Lord God, in holiness, O Lord God, in glory, in joy, O Lord God, in faithfulness, O Lord God, Father, in peace, Lord God, in every area, Lord God, and truly, O Lord God, will be ambassadors of your glory and your true representatives on the earth, even as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Thank you, because most importantly, this evening you will come and have your way, you will take your place, Lord God, and you will do great and mighty things in us, through us, even beyond what we could ever ask or think, O Lord God, we could even think that we could do, O Lord God, because you will work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure in this place. Thy kingdom come, O God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven at this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a clap for prayer. Let's quickly take our seat. Let's give it a clap for us to take our seats in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for his mercy and another opportunity to gather here in Zion State Fellowship, the campus, Outreach Home of Scripture, Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give it a clap offering for our lovely parents who are always praying and laboring in the word for us. And we pray that they will see the travail of their souls. They'll be satisfied in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to talk to your neighbor and turn to three people. Say, the Lord bless you. It's good to see you this evening. Three people. It must be three over three. The Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you. It's good to have you around. It's glad to see you, architect. We haven't seen you in a long time. We give God the praise and all the glory. So this evening, God is taking us from somewhere and he's taking us somewhere in Zion Fellowship. Let's give it a clap offering. You know, and so every week like this, and like Prof was telling us on Sunday, it's going to be organic. And you know, God has been merciful and been faithful in these 5 years, and we believe that there are new things. He's a God of new things, a God of innovation and creativity, you know, and so new things are springing up. And so we're going to be having, of course, we're still going to be having our prayers and the word, Lord God, but everything, even in the prayer and the word, there are diverse ways. The Bible calls God a God of diverse operations, you know, and so these things are, we're still going to be in contact and fellowship with God without losing the essence and the core, which is God, which is transformation, which is becoming more like Jesus. How be it, it's going to be in diverse ways, because our God is the God of diversity, a God of diverse operations. And so you can see this evening, we are seated in a different way. We're going to have a team, like we said, it's going to be within us, from within us, this truths and ideas and thoughts are going to spring up. you know, while the foundation still remains. But we have a team that has brought up what God is going to use today to help us and explain what we have in store, you know, for us this evening. I want everybody to break out of any shell, you know, and let us interact and let us fellowship. The Bible says that our fellowship might be with the Father and with the Son, and our fellowship may be with one another, that our joy may be full, you know, because there's a part of joy that I need to be full of that God has deposited in you. Do you understand? And the anointing is, he has, Jesus and God have broken themselves apart. You know, they've put one in you, they've put one in me, they've put one in you, they've put one. And so for us to feed, we're not going to go to heaven to go and pick it. It's already here on earth. And it's part, and it's in you. So if you lock it up, don't do us a disfavor. Do you understand? A disservice. God wants to speak through you, and God wants to speak through each and every one of us. So I'm going to invite Brother David and his and the team that God is going to use to explain what we're going to do this evening. And by the end, when everybody has done their part and contributed, myself and Prof will also now bring in our part and contribution. Let's give God a clap offering. So also for the worship team, the Lord bless you. Thank you so much, Brother David and the team, for this evening. And next week it can be you. So just keep praying, and the Spirit of God is going to inspire you.
Okay. Can you come closer? Like, no social distancing, please. Please. For the sake of the discussion, trust me. We can't discuss from that distance. Thank you. And please pick a neighbor and look them in the eyes for 5 seconds. Just look for 5 seconds, like stare them in the eyes. I will ask you the color of their eyes. You're looking at another man. Just look them in the eyes. Yeah, are you sure? Now tell them you love them with the love of God. With the love of God. Brother, I'm looking at you. Amen. Okay, so this evening we'll be doing things a bit differently, by God's grace. Thank you, Prof. Okay, yeah. Thank you, sirs, for the opportunity and the privilege. Please, if you are online, you can also follow us. You can type in the chat box whatever you want to say, or in the WhatsApp groups. So I'll start with this scripture. The book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. You can open to it. Romans 15, verse 4. Who wants to read it for us? Anybody? If you don't volunteer yourself, I will pick. Yes.
For whatsoever thing we are written aforetime, we are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Just for.
So, everything that was written before time was written for our learning, and everything that was written points to one man, the man Jesus Christ. And so in light of that, we have been split into different groups with the color code, the color paper on our hands, rather. And we have 4 different characters, and each different character speaks of Christ in one way or the other. And that's where we have to, under God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, think and give, just share with your group members what you think, or whatever way Christ was portrayed through the life of the character. For example, we have Samson. Samson at birth, his mother was appeared to be an angel, just like Jesus Christ. He was consecrated from birth. He had long hair, just like Jesus Christ. He had the destiny of delivering his people, just like Jesus Christ. Sadly, at his death, he killed more people than he did when he was alive, just like Jesus Christ. He wrought a greater victory at his death than when he was alive. Okay, so that's an example. So we have 4 different characters here. And I would like a volunteer from each group to come and pick a sheet of paper from my hand. I don't want to do it randomly, so you will not say, it was my fault. So, a person from each group, please. Okay. Just come out, please. One person from each group. Oh yeah, who are you nominating? Ladies first, please. Please use your card.
Joseph.
Ruth.
Esther.
David.
I didn't pick it, though. She picked it.
It's too much.
Okay, thank you, guys. So please go back to your groups. Thank you. So now, for the next 15 to 20 minutes, we'll be having group discussions. So you guys will get to talk. I will suggest that you pray in the Spirit for like a minute before you start, so that God can give you utterance and open your understandings as well. Amen. So after 15, 20 minutes, we'll... So Paul just suggested that you get to jot down your points as you are speaking. You can use the paper that you were given. So whoever is representing you can speak, not just from the head, but you have your points valid. You can nominate someone else if who is more outspoken or something, if you want to. Amen. So 15 to 20 minutes. Yes, thank you.
It's 5:30, so by
5:58. Yeah. You can rearrange your chairs, please. And don't say we are few or we are many. It's not about numbers. Just... Are you okay like that? You want something? Good evening. For those joining us online, we are looking at the lives of David, Esther, Ruth, and Joseph. Looking at how the character of Christ was portrayed through these biblical characters. So if you have any comments, do let us know. You can put your message in the chat box or in the WhatsApp chat. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I trust we're enjoying our discussion. Don't look around. You won't see me. I'm up. But not God, sha. So we have 3 minutes to go. So you can start rounding up. 3 minutes. Thank you. So we have 1 minute to go. So no extra time, we have to keep to time. I know you are enjoying it, but to be continued. Amen. So can we turn around back to... Can you clap for yourselves, please? Appreciate yourselves. Just turn your chairs. I hope you enjoyed each other, not each other, ourselves. Can I get a response? Did we enjoy the sessions? Okay. So I will start with, this is what, David. Not because it's my name, but because he's on my right hand. Anyhow, God sees my heart. So, who is going for David's group? Who's your moderator? Or... So please, your name for you.
I'm Peter Oshilim.
5 minutes.
All right.
Max.
So we talked about David, the personality of David, linking it to our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at David first and foremost as a man after God's heart. also our Lord Jesus Christ was a chosen one too, that was sent for the salvation of the world, of the heart. So, and also, we also looked at the aspect of faith. David was a man that had faith in God. Even when he was in the wilderness, he had faith that God would give him the strength to overcome the bears and the lions that want to attack his father's sheep. Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was a man of faith, was a man that preached faith, that people saw faith in him. And he also practicalized the faith he had in his father. Also, we looked at David as a priest, prophet, warrior, psalmist, and also a king, which is likened to the five ministries. The five ministries of the New Testament, which is the pastor, prophets, teachers, the apostles, and also the evangelists. Thank you.
Wait, though. Use like 2 minutes. Does anybody want to add to what he said from your group?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We discussed about the life of David with my name is Njeshiko Olamide.
Olamide?
Yes, just brother apart. Yeah, we discussed about the life of David, that he's a man of the altar, he's a man of battle, he seeks God through prayer, he seeks God through the challenges of his life. We related it with similarity to the life of Jesus. David started his own training process from the wilderness when he was tending his father's sheep. Similarly, Jesus started his ministry by going to the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mm. Also, we are focusing on David, where he also learned actually how to be broken in the cave of Adullam. And we similarize it to a life of a Christian, of a new convert, that it's not an instant process, but it's a journey. It's a journey that requires constant cleansing, day in, day out, washing of, renewing of the mind, spirit, soul, and body. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you. We still have like 2 minutes. Yes.
Okay, just to add to what Peter said, I am Feolua.
Your surname, please.
Ibrahim.
Thank you.
For now. All right, so just to add to what Peter shared, we saw that Jesus is the father. Oh, my Lord. Jesus is the.
Shaking Kuro.
Jesus is the son of David. And we see that the anointings that David carried, he was a king, he was a priest, he was a prophet, he was a psalmist, and he was a warrior. And we see these graces in our Lord Jesus as well. And Jesus is the son of David. And we are the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think by extension, we are also supposed to, we actually have intrinsic in us these graces. The Bible says in Revelation that we are kings and priests unto our God. The Bible also says we should fight the good fight of faith. That covers for warrior. The Bible also says that in Colossians 3 that we should sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to God. That's the psalmist. The Bible also says in Jeremiah 1:5 or so that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the 1:4. Thank you, ma. And I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So, like Pastor Laulu, I think it was Pastor Laulu that shared at the beginning that all these things, okay, was him. All these things are written for our learning and admonition. So we are seeing ourselves, we are seeing Jesus in David, and we are seeing ourselves in Jesus. So as a lifestyle, we are supposed to, should I say, actualize or live out these graces, operate as kings in Christ Jesus, operate as priests, where we offer spiritual sacrifices by the blood, the word, and the spirit. Fight the good fight of faith, also with the weapons of the blood, word, and spirit. sing psalms and praise, worship to God, and then what's the fifth one?
Jeremiah 1:5.
Prophet. So when we sing in the spirit, we prophesy different graces. There are different graces of prophecy, and as we grow, we begin to manifest them. Thank you for listening to my TED talk. Amen. Please like, share, and subscribe.
Thank you. Next group. Okay. 5 minutes. Can we clap for her? Appreciate her. Your names.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Okay. My name is Efrata. Efrata Oyewole. And I'm going to be representing Group Green, the Green Group. And we discussed Ruth. Okay. So, I want to be able to see everyone and not back people. Okay, so the first commonality that we saw between Ruth's character and Jesus' character was that of faithfulness and / trust in God. And so we all know Jesus was faithful to his ministry, and he knew that he was going to have to go to the cross at the end of the day. And even though it wasn't convenient for him, and he actually did beg God, that God, if you can take this thing away from me, please take it away. But then he did it anyway. And so we can see something similar in Ruth's character when she insisted, she did insist on following Naomi. And so that was the character of faithfulness being portrayed. She didn't have to do it. It was definitely not convenient for her, but she decided to follow Naomi to Bethlehem, even though it wasn't convenient. And so the fact that she did this led her to her destiny, to her spiritual destiny, and then she ended up becoming one of Jesus' ancestors. And so that's a very key point, because Jesus' faithfulness to the cross as well gave us our own spiritual destinies and, you know, made us, his blood made a way for us and all of that. So that was one commonality. The second point that we found was on adoption. And so Ruth was adopted, the process of, Boaz, I'm sorry. The process of Boaz marrying her was an adoption process. And so what used to happen then is, if there's a close relative to the deceased, that is Ruth's husband, her dead husband, that's the person that would take her in into the family, and then with him, they can then, you know, further the line of the person that has died. And so the adoption process that Ruth underwent went through is similar to that which Jesus, you know, does for us as joint heirs of Christ. And so we are adopted into this new amazing family, the same way Ruth was adopted into a new amazing family. The other point that of submission to authority and obedience. Ruth was submitted totally, completely. She never, you know, spoke back. She was never argumentative. Whatever Naomi told her to do was what she did. And we can see the same thing in Jesus' life. From when his mom told him to turn water, she didn't exactly tell him to turn water to wine, but she did give him, you know, the encouragement, like, you know, go ahead, this is your time. And he was obedient in that as well. And then we also see submission to authority, where Jesus went with his parents to the temple in Jerusalem, and then they left him. Well, they didn't leave him. He was busy, you know, preaching the gospel and, you know, talking about his father. And then they had gone, and then they came back, and they're like, oh, you have to go now. He wasn't stubborn. He didn't, you know, throw a tantrum. He submitted, even though, I mean, what he was doing was good, but he was still under authority at the time, and he submitted to his parents and went with them. The last point that we made, was that of service. So we can see in Ruth's life that she was always serving. When she moved with Naomi to Bethlehem, she went into the field and like every day she was just there serving, like harvesting. I'm sure it was very hard and like inconvenient and it was painful, but she did it anyway. And so we can see the same thing in Jesus' life, where he served with his dad and, you know, he was always in the carpenter shop with him and, you know, serving, even though like he was young then and that might not have been what he felt like he should have been doing because, you know, his destiny in Christ, I mean in God. But anyway, he did it anyway. He served and he served well until it was time for him to start manifesting when he was 30. So he served from like his teenage years into his 20s until he was 30. He was going about serving. And then the last Amen. One is that of compassion. And so we all know that Jesus is famous for his compassion. That's nothing new. And so Ruth showed compassion when she decided to follow Naomi to Bethlehem. I'm sure she would have thought this old woman, the trip in its own would have been hard. And then when she got there, how she'd have, you know, acclimatized to a new environment. Not new, but like relatively new, without her husband, without her sons. And so she was compassionate on her. And then she followed her. And she helped her. So yeah, those are points.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next group.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Miracle, representing Color Peach. Say hi to the family. Hi. Okay, so we spoke on Joseph and how Joseph's life, rather, was similar to that of Jesus. That what do we see in Joseph that also showed us what would become of, showed us, what was in Jesus. So the first we'll talk about was from birth, or from a young age, Joseph knew what it was going to be, even if it was not very clear. He knew that, okay, I was going to be a leader. I was going to, you know, because he saw the dream of him leading his brothers. Of course, it was not very clear, but he knew. And from that young age, you already have that sense of knowledge. And likewise, Jesus, before he came, the angel had already come to his mother to tell him that this child, though, is going to save the people from their sins. So they already knew. Even in the temple, Simeon and Anna told the parents again that, okay, this is what this child has come to do. So we see that what they were going to do was not something that was extremely new to them. It was something that God had already ordained for their lives. So on that thing we saw in Joseph is the fact that he was his father's beloved son. We saw how that in Genesis 37 verse 3, you know, the Bible would describe Joseph as someone that Jacob loved and which prompted him to make that coat of many colors for him. And also see in Jesus, in John, where the father will call him, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Like, in a lot of places, you will see, especially in the book of John, where John will refer to Jesus as the beloved of the father. So we see that there was that similarity. They both have the love of that. They were people that, you know, they experienced love, and in turn, they gave such love. Then we also looked at how that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. You know, I think the hardest form of betrayal is the one that comes from family. But he was betrayed by his brothers. They sold him for silver. We saw that in Jesus too. The people that said, crucify him, were the people that Jesus Christ healed, fed, and raised their dead. They were his family members. They were Israelites. They were the ones that said, kill him. Jesus was also sold for silver. Jesus also too. And now, he was betrayed, yes. He was betrayed for silver. Same as Jesus. So see that. And then one thing that points us on is on that character that was saw in them. That despite the fact that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and then Jesus was also betrayed by his brothers, they forgave. They didn't hold any grudges. Like they forgave. Like the brothers came and they were like, Joseph, you know, they move our head. Like Joseph was like, no. You say, what you did, I think it brings me, I'm saying two points at the same time. Forgiveness was in Joseph and Jesus. And they also saw that You know, the Bible tells us how that everything will work together for them that love God. Now, even if God does not orchestrate evil events, God can turn that evil event to turn into his will. So what God did was, Joseph was sold, right? He was betrayed. But when he got there, he became the deliverer of his family. If not, the whole of Israel would have wiped out. Same as Jesus. You know, they didn't know that Jesus' death was going to give us salvation. It was going to deliver us from sin. But they killed him anyways. And thank God they killed him, because we have salvation now. So you see how everything turned around for our good. So we saw that in Joseph and Jesus. And then, and that's what we saw is that, you know, Joseph and Jesus, they stood in the face of persecution. Now, with the Pharisees, you know, imagine people that were supposed to encourage you in the gospel coming at you. No, you're of the devil, you're a son of Belial. And but still, you know, it was easier for Jesus. Those, I think Pharisees were like old men, they could quote the scriptures by heart, and yeah, Jesus is just 30-something. You know, you'd be like, ah, let me respect my elders, let me not. But, you know, even in the face of persecution, Jesus did not flinch, same as Joseph. You know, one thing we saw in Joseph was that when it came to him, and on that, like we discussed in our group, was that, you know, Joseph was far away from his house. He could have done anything he wanted to do. Nobody could see him. But the law that Moses had kept, he said, how can I do this great sin against God? He was not even thinking, in fact, that my parents, he said, God is here. So even in that phase of opposition, Joseph did not do what was wrong. And we saw that with Jesus, that Peter will tell us how that he that did no sin was killed, because he didn't do no wrong. Even when Jesus was beaten, you know, okay, I want to use an example. Paul. When Paul was brought in front of the high priest and they slapped, he was like, they were like, don't you know that? I did not know. But no, Jesus could have also reacted like that because he was in the flesh. But he knew that he could not commit sin because of our sake. So even in the face of persecution, he didn't do anything wrong. We saw that thing in Joseph and Jesus. And then we also saw that, yes, I was talking about temptation, right? Okay. Yes, okay. We also saw that Jesus was full of wisdom. You know, in everything that Jesus did, one thing I always like to see in the scriptures is when the Bible said that, and Jesus knew in his heart what he was going to do, but he just asked. He just wanted to know what they would think. And also saw in Joseph how that, you know, when the famine came, and by the Spirit of God, he was able to give interpretation to it. And then he said, no, Pharaoh, you have to look for a man that is full of wisdom. And Pharaoh was like, Enikpe, who are you? You are here already. We don't have to look for any other man. Pharaoh recognized that this man was full of wisdom. And it was also seen with Jesus that he was full of wisdom. And that thing we'll see again is that in Jesus and Joseph, they were men that were recognized to have the Spirit of God. Because we'll see that in scriptures, when a man has the Spirit of God, there are signs to show for it. You know, Potiphar would tell Joseph how that, it is since you came to my house, I know that things have changed. He knew that God was behind this man. And the same thing with Jesus. In Acts says, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth, full of the Holy Ghost and full of power. It was something that was recognizable. We could see the both of them that, this one is God, and this is God. And they also talk about service, right? Yes. We said, Joseph served. Now, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. You know, on normal circumstances, you should feel, you should have agitation to your brothers. You should not want to do what they tell you. But he served as though it was his own house, that Potiphar had to hand over his property to him. You know, that takes a lot of trust and confidence in this person's ability. Same with Jesus. You know, the height was, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And you know that in Jews, it is the lowliest of servants that does those kind of things, to wash somebody because of their climate and all. And Jesus told them that, says, the person that will be greatest in the kingdom must be the servant of all. Joseph modeled service, and Jesus also modeled service to us. And then, yes, the temptations that they faced, a lot of temptations. Potiphar's wife wanting to drag Joseph and all. And then with Jesus and Satan, when Satan turned stone to bread and jump from this and no, those things. Potiphar's wife promised Joseph that, you know, just sleep it now. Imagine you have the madam of the house on your side. Everything is settled. Satan also promised Jesus the same thing. I will give you the word. Just bow down. But they looked at, there's nothing to gain in the world if I would disobey God. There's no point. And they know they did what was right. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Rola Cassandra. So we're small but mighty. So I'll start. So I think the first comment I want to make is that if we look at the life of these different characters in the Bible, we can see that they were not perfect. we ourselves were not perfect. And many people try to emulate Christ exactly as he was, not realizing that there are other characters that also have they embodied the character of Jesus. Like, so now many times we're like, oh, Jesus did this, how could he do this? Or we give him the excuse that, oh, it's because, you know, he's the Son of God. But what of all these other people that, you know, also did the same thing or something very similar? I mean, they were not Jesus, they were not born of a virgin and everything. So now I think the first thing we need to look at is, no matter where you're coming from, you should know that, you know, we're all destined for greatness. And part of it is by being submissive. Because if neither of these characters, Jesus, Esther, if they were not submissive to authority, they may have never reached their destiny. That destined for greatness that they were, they may have never fulfilled it if they were not submissive. Like, for instance, Esther, the first thing was that she had to go and prepare to be queen. And Mordecai told her not to tell anybody that she was a Jew. If she had disobeyed that instruction, she would never have made it to where she was now able to deliver her people. Same thing with Jesus. Like, when he was, a few people already mentioned it, when he was about to start his ministry, if he did not listen to his mother, she gave him ginger. Like, she did not explicitly say, turn water to wine. But if, you know, he was receptive and he was submitted, so he could feel that, okay, now this is the time. But if he just, you know, neglected her and threw whatever she was saying away, there's no way he would have been able to start that ministry at that time, and then he would have missed that opportunity. So that's the first thing we need to, that's the first similarity between these two characters. And then both of them were actually compassionate. And, you know, at the end of the day, they both took risks to save their people and to help deliver their people. If they didn't have compassion, if they were not selfless, they never could have been able to do that. And, you know, a lot of people think that being selfless means, you know, sacrificing your all or giving everything you have. Not necessarily. Sometimes when you have a good heart, when you think that, honestly, like, you know, this is for the greater good, and the sooner I get this done, the better it will be for myself and everybody. If they didn't think that way, if they were just thinking that, like Esther now, like, this man is going to kill me. He did not, like, see the way he just basically disposed of Vashti just because she didn't come to dance. So if they didn't think that, you know, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to save my people, this generation is going to continue, they will never have been able to fulfill their destiny. Then I also have, they knew when to get down on their knees and pray. They knew when to fast. I mean, I know it may be very difficult for us to say that, okay, now I want to fast, I want to pray. But they knew that this time is, we have to go full armor. We have to have the full armor on. I can't go there. I can't say that, okay, now I'm selfless, I want to risk my life, and then I'll now go there, you know, just like that. People don't go to war empty-handed. So the earlier you know when to get down on your knees and cry out to God and let him cover you and shield you, then you know that when you're going in, no matter what actually happens, you know that, you know, you were sanctified, you were covered, fortified, thank you. You are fortified, and you know, you have faith in that moment that you're going to come out strong. Not that you'll be scared that I'm doing this for my people though, but whatever happens, if I die, that way you actually die, because you're not going in prepared, you're not going in like you want to win. So we need to do that as well. Then both of them also lived a life of service, which also relates to compassion, because they were looking at their people. Like, this is, like, you know, we say service to humanity. If Jesus was not looking at us, like, I mean, who would have thought that we'd be here today, back way back then? So if he was not looking like, Sandra is coming, Ephrata is coming, Ayofa is coming, miracle is coming, he would not have done what he did. And same thing with Esther. She's probably thinking, I mean, she didn't want to go, and her uncle told her that, you know, if you do not go, don't think that just because you're queen, you're going to escape whatever is going to happen. And so she was able to look for that, honestly, like, for the unborn children, for the people that are yet to come. It's not be just because Esther did not go. I mean, it's not like the whole generation was relying on a group of people, just one person. And her sacrifice, Jesus ended up dying on the cross for us, going to hell for 3 days. But at the end of the day, it paid off. So if it was like it was going to take Esther's head off, she was also prepared. And we also need to learn that, you know, being compassionate, being selfless, with sense, because, like I said about going, knowing when to go on your knees in prayer, they did it with sense. They didn't just, you know, go empty-handed. They weren't fortified. And then, in the story, like, Jesus is an advocate to us. Esther was an advocate for her people. Yeah, so, Jesus, in Esther's case also, her uncle became a father to her when she lost her parents. You know, she came from, like, a line of slaves, and Jesus, technically, you know, people didn't rate him where they came from. I mean, Nathaniel was asking and saying that, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So people would have been looking like a whole slave. What is she doing being a queen? But at the end of the day, so it doesn't matter where you are now. I mean, it doesn't matter. Where God is taking you, only him knows. And you need to embody all these characteristics. They're actually little things. But then if we don't do it, the little things, you know, tiny drops make a mighty ocean. So it's the little things that, you know, become perfection at the end of the day. So we need to take little here, little here, little here, do it, and we become. So I don't think I'm done. Please give me a minute. And, I think I'm done. Okay, thank you. I think I briefly spoke on that. That's about where they came from. They were like both minor citizens. Nobody regarded them. And, you know, they became where they were. So we're all destined for greatness. We just need to be a little more submissive, a little more forgiving, you know, listen to instructions. And, you know, listening to instruction can be weird because some people will say that telling white lie. I think that's how instruction is sometimes. They'll say, like, the people that were taking care of Esther and the other girls to prepare them to go before the king, use this amount of perfume, don't jump, don't sing, don't dance, and you only take the one that favors you. You haven't fully listened to that instruction, and it didn't pay for the other girls because they may have listened to some of those instructions, but because they didn't take everything that they were given, they were not completely submissive, they did not end up where Esther ended up. And they were probably from, you know, better backgrounds than Esther was. So it doesn't matter who is in power today. If God says you're going to have that throne, you will definitely have it. Thank you.
Let me just give him a minute to talk. Okay. Make it snappy.
Praise God. I'm Sam Ayomide. There's another thing I want to add. Like Prof, we always say, the best place you can be is the place where God wants you to be. Yeah. Despite everything. And let's assume she actually remained in her city, in her town. Maybe she wouldn't have, her life wouldn't have been glorious as it actually was. And looking at Jesus Christ also, he actually had to give everything. He actually had to stay. Not looking at all the glories. He actually had to stay where God wants him to be. He was talking to his disciples in some particular part of the Bible. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he was focused. He wasn't looking at every other place. He was focused. So we should also have this in us and also be focused. And I just want us to read the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 10. Let me just read from you. He said, your attitude should be like the same that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his right as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal death on the cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the highest of heavens and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We can see that he went through everything. He humbled himself. Jesus was humble. Esther was also humble. He humbled himself, and at the end, it all ended in joy. He was given the glory. He was given the name that is above every other name. So definitely, a glory is waiting for each and every one of us that can actually humble himself and wait on that God and follow instruction. The Lord bless us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Before I hand over to Pastor Laolu, I want us to sing a song, if you know it. It says, daily as I live. Do you know it? Let my whole life be expressions of your grace. Now, as a prayer. Daily as I live, and often as I breathe, let my whole life be expressions of your grace.
So we cry, Abba Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We cry, Abba Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
And may our lives truly be expressions of His grace in Jesus' name. Thank you, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm really touched, guys. You might not understand what I'll first make 3 points and then I'll just share a few things. It's really emotional right now. You know, and the reason is this. I'm not flattering you. First, there's a prayer there's a statement I always make that the fathers, they will see with the travail of their souls and they'll be satisfied and they will know their labor is not in vain, that they have not run in vain. And see that prayer answered in your words and 5 years also of prayer and intercession over Zion City, and the word that has come forth has not been in vain. You know, since 2017, that's 6 years, right? And 2017, yes. It hasn't been in vain. You know, I just want you to give a clap offering unto the Lord and to yourself, you know. It's not about the numbers, but it's when you see the fruit of prayer and intercession and the word come forth. And you guys are the ones that have said all this, that have sat here, have been fed. There are things that I've written that you've scattered and gone beyond and burst, you know, forth. And I can see Prof behind, you know, also just blessing God in his heart, you know, as an uncle, as a father, and an elder brother here. I know he will also have, which I really want to commend you. I know it's the grace and the mercy of God, is the intercession and the covering of the fathers, you know, and also must also thank God for you to have hearkened and listened over the years, and it's because you've practiced, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation working in your heart will continue in the name of Jesus. I will also just end this part by saying that I think I can go on a holiday, Prof. You know, it means that truly, by His mercy and grace, we can't be afar. Well, when I say afar, it doesn't mean afar in the sense of we can just be able to watch and bask, you know, in the presence of God that is also upon you. And with all humility, you know, listen to one another, and you've not come to show forth, you know, knowledge and puff up. I know this, I know that, you know, be able to, I could feel it, you know, in the drink. I could drink from it. You know, there's some of you have, they have knowledge, but you can't drink from it because it's already stalled, because pride goes before destruction. They can't communicate it. The knowledge right there, but if there's no love, it can't be expressed, you know, however they try, you know, but it has flowed. I have gained, you know, immensely. It's something I would like to listen to over and over again. I just want to thank you. God bless you. God reward your labor of love. God continue to cause His spirit to grow and, you know, expand in you and be able to take you beyond, you know, because He has a destiny for you from where Rolake stopped. God has a great destiny for each and every one of you. And I'll just say this before Prof. I've written down certain things. I've said practically everything. I just want to use it to encourage you that none of those guys knew they were being used to write a part of the story of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It's not planned, though. Don't ever think that God had it all planned out and God mouthed out. I say, David, it is David I'm going to use. No. No, no, no. God predestines events. He never predestines people, though. Do you understand? Don't ever think that, he's David, though, that's his life. Oh, can never reach. No, God predestinates events. He does not predestinate people. He has said, this one is going to go to heaven. This one is going to hell. He elects. You know, people misunderstand. People misunderstand all those things. So, those guys, none of those guys knew they were being used. Ruth, And now she was an outcast. Just like the Lord Jesus, he was born in Nazareth. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. You know, none of those guys knew they were being used to write a part of the story of Christ. And the Bible says, lo, in the volume of the books it is written of me. Everywhere from Genesis to Revelation, all of the characters that you see, they all point to the Christ. It's all the gene and the DNA of Christ running through from Genesis to Revelation. And I just want to say, you see, the power of spiritual genes and DNA that you have inherited, you know, is in you. All those things, the power of what we're discussing today is the power of spiritual genes and DNA. Do you understand? And that's why the Lord just could tell those guys categorically, you are of your father, the devil. You can also be of your father, God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so just pick those points. And I had also done my own homework while you were doing this. Joseph and Jesus, I wrote forgiveness, you know, and feeding ahead and going ahead to be prepared to feed the world in a time of famine. So forgiveness, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. David and Jesus, you know, I just noted warfare and worship, you know. Jesus and David desired a dwelling place for God, you know, and Jesus was the tabernacle of God. God is desiring a dwelling place in your own life also. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and then we are waging a warfare, not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, you know. And then Ruth and Jesus, I've just picked humility. You know, Jesus had a forerunner. Ruth had a forerunner, Naomi. Jesus' forerunner was John the Baptist that baptized him, and he had to follow. You know, and then there was a hope of inheritance in their lives. And we also, and I wrote that Ruth was unrecognized, very unrecognized girl. And Jesus also from an unrecognized part of Jerusalem. So you also, you might not be recognized now, but still, you still have a bright purpose. You see, Jesus can relate with us. And we can relate with him at whatever level of being unrecognized and also having a forerunner ahead of us. Esther and Jesus, sacrifice, self-denial, suffering, and salvation, you know, through the total annihilation and destruction of your enemies. What the enemy means for evil in your life, God will turn it around for good. Do you understand? So irrespective of the evil, in first and foremost, in nature, there are those satanic nature and beastly nature and habits that might be in us that the enemy means for evil to tarnish our lives. You know, God is going to turn it around for good. And that's what she was talking about. She was talking about Esther, you know. So the sacrifice, the salvation, you know, and that's how you know you've done more. The one that I'm preaching, I just borrowed your anointing, you know, and God has done the rest. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. David, time me 5 minutes. I must stop. Pastor Lau, I'll just take from there. You know, I was being fed. Praise the Lord. I was seeing perspective that, wow, I didn't see it that way. Amen. I was being fed. And we thank God. See, in school, I by God's grace, I used to be a diligent student. I don't miss classes. And when in class, I don't play games. I look at the lecturer. I asked questions. But there was a day I had an exam at 8 o'clock and I slept off. Someone took the alarm clock. I set the alarm for 12 that I already till 6. And someone was going to say, oh, this guy is sleeping. He just took the alarm clock. And I slept till 6. Then when I entered, I was crying. I used to hate failure. But my friends calmed me down. And when I got to the class, one thing I realized was that as I saw the questions, the classroom started playing back. And I started writing. And when people started talking today, I just took a song that there are things inside of you don't know. The things of God. Constant coming to church, constant reading Bible. You see the seed is there. You look at your weakness. No, there is gem inside everybody. And in its day of showing, it will come out. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So just let's continue. Amen. Let's be encouraged. There are things inside of us. And it's planted there by God. Amen. And God is nurturing it. He has plans for it. Amen.
Amen.
You see, we don't try to be another person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't try. A lot of people make efforts, serious effort, to be like another person. No. David was a warrior from his youth, 17, 18. He had learned to fight. Praise the Lord. Fought bear, fought lion. Joseph didn't fight anybody. Amen. Joseph was a talented guy and a great administrator. You saw it from Potiphar's house, from the prison. He could organize. He was in control with good organization skills. And that, to the throne, it showed. Amen. Esther, see, to put it without over-spiritual, Esther was a beauty queen. That was what she was. She went for the beauty competition. She was just a natural beauty. She was just a babe. Praise the Lord. That was Esther. Amen. Ruth was a homekeeper. That's what she was. A homekeeper. Who had suffered the adversity of losing a husband at an age. So you can see they were different in their experiences. But from all the points you all said today, there was that love for God. There was that love for God that was there. So they had their differences and their seemingly disadvantages. When Samuel saw David, they said, this one, to fight Goliath, who is this stripling? Praise the Lord. So in God keeping him, yet the world didn't recognize him. Joseph, among his brothers, he was an outcast. Praise the Lord. They even ostracized him. He was separate from his brethren. So when he was coming here, to today, Alala. Yeah. In Persia, the Jews were outcast. Don't let them know you're a Jew. And Ruth was a widow at an early age. Where is the hope? And yet, God had the dream for every single one. Amen.
Amen.
Of those characters. And at the end of the day, made it to glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The last thing I'll say is that, today it was David, Abi and who? Joseph. No. 10 years time. Come out. Tell us what you know about Anyofe. That you learn that is similar to the character of Christ. Come and tell us what you know about Femi. That things in Femi's life that really is it. Those Bible characters are just examples. We are the written epistles. Amen. Known and read of all men. It is us. So that's where God is taking us to. Praise the Lord. Sir. Yeah, in Antioch, they were called Christians for the first time because they were just like Christ. Praise the Lord. So let's chill. Let's know that we're on a good path. Notice, one of the things the devil tries to always use for all of us is inferiority complex. You war. One sort of David. Where are you? God has put things inside you. Don't underestimate yourself. You're not proud, but don't also become weakling. No, there are things in you, and God is nurturing them unto glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's rise up and pray. Let's rise up and pray. Let's thank God for his love. I always say that thing. The devil works hard to make you believe that God doesn't love you. But you thank God for his love. Thank God for his love. He loves you. He has invested in you. He cares for you. He hasn't given up on you. He has forgiven you. He has plans for you. That of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Your mistakes should never become a stumbling block to your destiny. Your mistakes have been taken care of by the blood. Keep the destiny shining. We think about his love. We think about his goodness. We think about his grace that sees us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
One more time. We think about his love.
We think about his love.
We think about his goodness.
We think about his goodness.
We think about his grace.
We think about his grace.
That sees us through.
That sees us through.
For as high as the heavens above.
For as high as the heavens above.
So great.
So great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
For as high as the heavens above.
For as high as the heavens above. So great is the measure.
Make sure you are holding someone. Make sure you are holding someone. Make sure you are holding someone. Our Father, we come under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, and under the lordship and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with humility. We come with meekness. We come with lowliness of heart. And yet we come with deep appreciation, adoration, thanksgiving, with a confidence that you love us. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of your love. As a family, Zion City Fellowship, under our fathers, we also confess the bond of love that we have together as brethren. That together you will see us through. Together, you will make us a mighty army. Together, you will make us the Ezekiel's army. We will rise up. We will stand an exceeding great army. Vanguards of those that will bring forth the glory of God. We will help one another. We will unite. We will come in love. We will come in unity. How great and how pleasant is for brethren to dwell in unity. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You do exceedingly and abundantly. More than which you ask nothing, according to your power that is at work within us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap.